Welcome to my Stories of Chinese Characters podcast series. This is Adam with Uncle Hanzi by my side. And so we're going to review our first trip, which started the second season off. Let's get some tips before we can go shooting for the next place. Let's talk about actually the Chinese characters of that first city we visited.
Quanzhou.
What are the Chinese characters for Quanzhou?
Well, the character is Quanzhou. Quan means spring. And if you look at the ancient character, it's kind of a, looks like a hole with some water coming out of it. And that's Quan, which means spring. And Zhou means state. And the states were separated by rivers. So if you look at the ancient character, you see what happens, what kind of looks like an island between two rivers. Well, in Quanzhou, they have a fishing culture there, and they have the West Street there, and it's an interesting place to be. Fujian province is kind of unique in China. It has a different culture from the rest of China.
I only find things interesting after the fact. It's not like I chose. So it was, for me, it was actually mind-blowing. This alternative Silk Road, this was a powerhouse in ancient China that I never knew about. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I have to be completely honest. I never even knew about the city at all, knew that it existed or anything. And how complex the city is, from architecture to its historical roots, where there's these all these different cultures living in one place. We were on a rooftop when we got there, and we were talking to kind of a local expert of the architecture. And, you know, you could look in every direction, you'd see, you know, you could see all the major religions being represented, not through literally the bells ringing, the mosques, the churches. It's very interesting. From a visual standpoint, going through that city, it's much different in its look and feel than a lot of other places in China that I visited.
Oh, Uncle, I remember you mentioned a poem when we were on the rooftop. What is it?
Xu xu le ga lu dai wei, hong yam mo goi bin mo choi, yi tong song gin bok song sik, xu man hok chong ho chu lai. It's a poem, and it's a famous throughout China, and it's about a person who left their hometown when they were young, and they come back home, and everything's changed. The old language has not changed, but the old man's hair has grown white, and as he walks through the streets, the children ask, "Who are you? We don't know you." And so it's a famous poem.
Wow. Where did you learn so many dialects? Because you can also do this poem in Minnan dialect, right?
Well, I lived in Taiwan for 5 years, and they speak Minnan Hua there. And in Fujian, they speak Minnan and Mingbei and Fuzhou, several dialects. But Minnan is a very large dialect. It's, some people say it's the way they spoke in ancient China. But also other people say they spoke similar to Cantonese. When I was in Taiwan, I never learned too much Mingnan because I was busy learning Putonghua. But later when I went back to America, at that time in the 70s, nobody spoke Putonghua. So I figured I had to learn Cantonese or Guangzhouhua, or you know, the language they speak in Hong Kong. So I spent some time, and I can speak some Cantonese.
When is the last time you went home? I mean, your real hometown, Uncle Hanzi. Was everything the same? Same old, same old?
And of course, my hometown has changed in the past 60 years since I left it, or 55 years.
You know, my home, I've been here since I first came here in 2013, but I never was calling it my home because I would always, you know, the minute I got done with my all my employment obligations, I would go back and see my people, my sister and my parents. And, you know, it, God, I miss them so much. Go ahead.
When I first went to Taiwan in 1972, it took 2 months to get a letter back and forth to my parents. And it was impossible to call them. I could call them, but it took like... I called my...
Called $5,000 or something to call.
Yeah, I called... It was Christmas, and I called my parents and talked for 3 minutes, and it cost the probably equivalents of modern several hundred dollars. So yeah. I spoke to my parents once in a year and spent a couple of weeks' income so that I could talk to them for 2 minutes. And so after the first two years in Taiwan, I was very homesick, so I went back. But nowadays, nowadays we have WeChat and all kinds of other ways, and I can talk to my brother video for an hour at a time for free. So it's as if I live in America almost. So I've been here for like 11 years. I've been in and out of China for the past 50 years, but I've been here permanently for the past 11 years. Now I'm a permanent resident in China, and I only have several American friends that I still talk to. So now I'm pretty much Chinese.
I would say, yeah, honorary doctorate in being Chinese, like if nothing more. I was just going to say though, when you 2019 is the last time I've been home. And when I say home is like you're hugging the people that you love or having intimacy in the sense of, bonding with people. Let's say, my family and I shared was, our love for like winter sports and like snow skiing. Something I was doing since I was like 3 years old, and we would do that together, and we would make trips either to Michigan or out west, get in the car and just do a road trip together. Those things, even though we were not sitting in our house, we brought the home out on an adventure to go to Colorado or something. And even now, or at least up before the pandemic, the first place I would go back to in America was Colorado, where my sister lives. She's lives in Boulder, Colorado. And, I'd always she'd be the first one I visit. We go skiing, and because I usually go back during the Chinese New Year holiday. And, but that memory for me is probably the most significant as far as our family united, doing something together. And so it's like, I've created my own family here now, and I have children, and they're all willing to give the huggies out. So
I was thinking of when I was a child, I never got in any fights, but sometimes there was a bully, and one day there were two bullies, and they called my mother names, and so I got in a fight with them, and I won. In fact, I gave them both bloody noses, but when you got in a fight, you got kicked out of school for a few days. So I called up my father, and I said, I got in a fight, and they kicked me out of school. And my father said, did you win? And I said, yes. And he said, good. I'll be right there to pick you up. So one thing I remember about my family. So now I'm 72. I had left Medford for about 30 years, and I had lost all contact with every single person I went to school with. And then suddenly the internet comes along. I can make contact with my grade school friends, my junior high friends, my high school friends. This would have been impossible any time in history.
Yes, I'm so grateful for technology. I mean, I'm really happy I can live in this time because I can speak and see my parents, but it's just two dimensions. And I still want to go home and meet my parents and go back to my sweet home that I grew up in. But we haven't learned the character for Jia yet. How do we write Jia?
Well, Jia, some people think, okay, it's a pictograph of a house with a pig in it. Well, actually, the pig is under the house. So I think that in ancient China, the reason there's a pig there, I think in ancient China, people lived in houses and the pigs lived underneath the house. That's my explanation. There are many characters, perhaps 100, that have to do with making a building. One of them is Fu, which is a wall. And yeah, there's probably about 100 characters that have to deal with buildings. And some of those buildings are houses. Do you know that stars live in houses? In English, we have, yes. You know, when the sun is in the house of Gemini. Well, it's the same in Chinese. We have Xingzhou, which means constellation, but it actually means a house for stars. And we have another Xingshou. The Shou is also a house for stars. And let's see what else. There's Guan, which is also, Shi Er Gong. The Gong is also a house for stars. Shi Er Gong is the zodiac, the 12 constellations of the zodiac. So you might ask, in English, in Arabic, in Russian, in Chinese, in Japanese, all of the words for constellation involve houses where the stars live. And so I'm always thinking about ancient China and how people perceived the universe. The stars lived in places, and the sun and the moon would go through the stars, the houses of the stars. You know,
when
like the house.
Moon was in the seventh house, and
yes.
Jupiter. Yeah, you're doing all this.
Lined with Mars. Yes. Well, this is cross-lingual. It exists in all languages. Has to do with the way we used to perceive the stars. But yeah, there's about 100 components that have to do with building houses and things like that.
There are
like
a lot
that.
Of factors, obviously. And again, it shows the importance of the house we live in with our families. Hanza, after traveling around so many countries, cities, countrysides, what has made you want to stay in Nanjing? I mean, what's up with that?
I've hitchhiked around China, and I've hopped trains around China. The first time I came to Nanjing, I live in Nanjing now, and the first time I came to Nanjing, I hopped a train in Shanghai, and it didn't stop until it got to Nanjing. So I've been traveling around China for quite a while. I've hitchhiked and taken buses and ridden motorcycles I've been to about 20 provinces, and I've been to Tibet and Xinjiang and Inner Mongolia and Hainandao. So I've been to quite a few places. I don't know how many cities I've been to, but in the past 50 years, I've been to probably hundreds of cities.
Well, I mean, I started in Shijiazhuang is where I started and visited plenty of places. I can't say... You know, I mean, I've decided, like, I'm going to just, I don't know, I'll just go get on a train and go. But, I'd go to Xi'an, and I'll figure it out when I get there. I've done that. You know, before, you know, when I was younger, of course, I've had those experiences. But in China, it's been tried and true kind of working and supporting, you know, my family. Not very interesting compared to, like, I'm going to ride the rails. I'm a nuclear physicist that knows more Chinese characters than a lot of Chinese people.
You know, I spent 20 years making a website, making the largest database of ancient Chinese characters in the world, about 100,000 characters, and nobody was interested. For 20 years, and most people thought I was a little bit crazy. And then all of a sudden, the Chinese internet in one day.
Hey, Uncle Hanza, that's not why people think you're crazy. I'm just going to say that right now. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. There's other reasons why people think he's crazy. All right.
I'm actually
go ahead.
Really
I'm sorry.
Crazy. You know, my website went from just a few thousand a day to 600,000 a day. And so I think that it's interesting how karma works or how fate works. I kind of like let things happen, and things happen. You have to be open to let things happen in your life. If you have a closed life, a planned life is a closed life. And so I try to be constantly open for new things to happen. I think that's important.
Bam. And you know what, one of the more significant moments working with you, like, you know, I was like better than a guitar solo. Like, it was just like, just my face melted. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, but I'm still wondering, you've been in and out of China 50 years. You're doing this, you're looking at the origins of the pictographs. I know you've said that it helps you. You're like, I can't learn those Chinese characters unless I know why they're the way they are. Now, why is this important? Why do you think it's important that we know the origins of these Chinese characters rather than just, you know, hey, let's just memorize them? I know there's a lot more than learning the ABCs. But, you know, I don't know the origins of the ABCs. What's the point, man? Tell me.
I think that everyone should have a purpose in life. And since I was a child, I came to China and I found out that many Chinese, they have no purpose in life. They don't have any aihao. They have no hobbies. They have no interests. But since I was a child, my interest has been to understand things, how things work, why they work, how a car works, why it works. I don't want to just drive a car. I don't want to just use a computer. I want to know how it works. And this carries over into, I've had this all my life. I've always wanted to know how things worked. And when I started learning Chinese, I found that everybody was blindly memorizing these complicated characters that had no apparent logic. But I realized that if I could find the original pictographs, then I could understand the logic. By learning the character pictographs and their original meaning, you don't just learn a little story, you learn something about the culture of ancient people. And for me, every time I can understand something new, it's like getting high. Understand something new about the universe, I have a sense of pleasure. And that's the way it's been all my life.
There are times when I'm jealous of you, man. Seriously. And the way you've lived.
My life is up and down, up and down. When I was in Tianjin, I lived in a pretty poor place. You may have seen a picture of it. Right now, I am spending all of my... Whenever I get money, I want to spend it on my interest. So right now, I'm spending my money. I'm making videos of the several thousand characters that I've analyzed. On my website, you can see explanations, but right now, I'm spending my money to make videos. And so pretty soon I won't have much money anymore.
So what are you going to do? You're going to ask me to do another season?
Yes, another season.
I'll be ready. I'll be waiting.
More important than money, far, far more important than money. I don't care if I own a house, as long as I have a place to live. What I care about is that I'm doing something useful and interesting. Now I'm making videos about the origins of Chinese characters. That's far more important than owning a house.
Well, this is the trade, right? So I'm paying off. I got one paid off, paying off another one. And, you know, there's a lot of gratification in certain, as a teacher, it's like singular moments where you see someone have this aha moment. I think it's what, you know, Hans is speaking about for himself, but it's not happening to you. When you're a teacher, you're seeing it happening to someone else. So you're living vicariously, and then that happens few and far between. I'm sorry. I'm saying, as I get older, and I'm 42, I am more and more appreciating the commodity that is one's time.
Yes.
Like, I think that is the, like, the worst thing you can do to someone, and that's why I really do feel really awful for keeping all of you, especially Uncle Hansa, waiting for me to get this, get all the applications ready and going. That is the worst punishment you could do to someone, especially as they age, is to take away their time. It is a, you know, you're paying not only with what you, with your quality of life or happiness, but you're paying, you pay with your time to do certain things. I'm making some choices. Yes. I'm making some choices that I don't regret them. I have more of an obligation and responsibility to other people. And so it's like, and these are, you know, these are all things you do through life. You make these choices I don't want to own a house. I want to have a landlord who takes care of stuff when something's broken. I definitely don't own a Western house where there's like the four walls are all open to the elements, because that's just, you're gonna have like a raccoon stuck in your roof, and like a, you know, like you're gonna have, now, hey man, I got a beautiful wife and a wonderful family, and I am very, very lucky. So, I could do that as well. But
yeah.
Oh, and with that, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, well, Ho Dao Lao, She Dao Lao. That's my philosophy. It means never stop learning. Join us next time as we discuss the city of Chengdu and the food there. So we also have a video that we've made, and you can see what it's like. And hopefully you'll have time to stop by and see our other podcasts on CGTN Radio or any other major podcast platforms. See you the next episode.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.